Upgrade your tool storage for the new year with help from Menards. For heavy-duty storage that protects your tools, choose Masterforce. From shelving units to cabinets and so much more, you can keep your tools safe and within reach. Get versatile and durable storage from Masterforce today. Check out all our Masterforce storage in-store or check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now.
Save big money at Menards.
Chapter 1. The curse of my birth. I was born into a promise I never agreed to. From the first breath I drew under the silver wash of a blood moon, my fate was sealed. Not by my own choices, not by the decisions of my mother, but by a bargain struck before I even existed. A bargain whispered in shadows and signed in blood. My name is Celine Hartwell, and I was promised to an alpha before I ever opened my eyes. They told me it was an honor, a divine gift, a blessing on our family name. But when you grow up being constantly reminded that your body, your heart, and your very soul belong to a man you've never met, the word blessing starts to taste like ash. My mother was human. My father, a disgraced wolf shifter. Their love had been forbidden, and their union nearly cost both their lives. But somehow, against all odds, they survived, and I was the product of their defiance. A child of two worlds, belonging to neither. At least, that's how it should have been. But on the night of my conception, before I had even formed in my mother's womb, my father swore an oath to the ruling alpha of our territory, that his firstborn child, whatever gender, would belong to him. The words were exact, carved into ritual stone and sealed with the alpha's blood. She will be yours before she is even hers. I was a promise, not a person. A prize exchanged to secure my father's fragile life. And the worst part. Every elder in the pack accepted it. Every whispering villager reminded me. From the time I could walk, I was called the Luna-to-be, the Alpha's bride, the cursed child. Imagine being 10 years old and hearing that your first kiss, your first love, your first night in someone's arms, all of it already claimed by a man I had never met, by a wolf whose name was spoken with both fear and reverence. Alpha Draven Veron. They said he was ruthless, that he could snap a rogue's spine with one twist of his hand, that his wolf was darker, larger, and more bloodthirsty than any born in 100 years. They said he was merciless to his enemies, savage in war, and terrifying even to his own pack. And somehow, I was supposed to be his salvation. I still remember the night I first heard the truth in its rawest form. I was 15. My mother and I had been tending the fire in our cottage. She thought I was asleep in my room, but I'd slipped out, bare feet quiet on the wooden floor, because I heard voices, hers and my father's, arguing in hushed, furious tones. He'll take her, Amelia. When the time comes, he won't care that she's still a child. He won't care if she screams. She's bound to him. We made it so. My father's voice was low, ragged, eaten alive by guilt. You made it so, my mother spat back. You sold her before she was even alive, Marcus. She is not yours to bargain away. She is, my father roared, then fell silent as though the weight of his own words crushed him. She is because if she wasn't, we would both be dead. You think Draven would have spared us? You think the council would have let me keep my wolf after what I did? Chose life for us. Chose safety. And yes, I condemned her to him. I pressed a hand to my mouth, trembling in the shadows. That was the night I stopped being a girl. That was the night I understood my life was not my own. From then on, I dreamed of escape. I would picture myself running across the border, slipping into human lands, building a new name and life where no wolf could scent me out. I thought about cutting my hair, changing my identity, vanishing like smoke. But the problem was, no matter where I went, the bond would find me. Because promises made in blood cannot be broken. Not in our world. Not under the moon's watch. The moon goddess herself had witnessed my father's oath. And she was not forgiving. Years passed. My 16th birthday came and went. Then 17. Every day was another step toward him. The pack began to whisper louder, to stare at me longer, as if they were waiting for the moment I would finally be claimed. Girls my age went to school dances, kissed boys under starlight, whispered secrets into cell phones. I lived in a cage made of prophecy and expectation. I couldn't even look at another boy without feeling guilt coil in my stomach. And yet, I did. His name was Jacob, a human boy from the nearby town. He had eyes like honey and a smile that felt like rebellion. When he looked at me, he didn't see a promise. He didn't see an alpha's bride. He saw me, Celine. We never kissed. We never touched. But we dreamed. And dreaming felt like sin. The night everything changed was the night of my 18th birthday. The blood moon returned, hanging swollen and red over the horizon, the same moon that had sealed my fate before birth. The pack gathered in the great hall of stone. Candles flickered. Wolves howled in ritual. My mother gripped my hand so tight her knuckles turned white. And then he walked in. Alpha Draven Veron. The man. The myth. The monster. He was taller than any man I had ever seen, broad-shouldered. His presence sucking the air from the room. His hair was black as midnight. His eyes an unnatural silver that gleamed like ice. Scars cut across his arms, his throat, his jaw, battle marks worn like jewelry. And when those silver eyes landed on me, I felt my knees weaken. Not from attraction, from terror. Because in that instant I knew. He was not a man who could love. He was a man who could consume. And I was his meal. Celine Hartwell. His voice thundered, echoing off the stone walls. You were promised to me before you drew your first breath. Tonight, under the blood moon, the bond will be sealed. Gasps rippled through the hall. My mother staggered forward, tears streaming down her face. She's just a girl, she cried. Draven, please wait. Give her time, give her freedom. Don't cage her like this. Draven's head turned slowly, like a predator regarding a fragile bird. She was never free, he said coldly. She was mine before she was yours. And tonight, the moon goddess will see her marked as mine forever. And in that moment, I understood the true curse of my birth. I had been born for this man. And there was no escape. Chapter 2. The Alpha's Claim. The blood moon burned crimson above us, a swollen omen hanging like fire in the night sky. I could hear my own heartbeat pounding in my ears as Alpha Draven Veron's silver gaze bored into me. The great hall had fallen into a silence so deep it felt like a grave. Wolves, both in human and beast form, knelt or bowed their heads in reverence as if the mere weight of his presence demanded it. But I stood frozen. I couldn't bow. Couldn't move. Couldn't breathe. Draven took one step forward, then another. His boots striking the stone floor like thunder. With each step, the hall seemed to grow colder, darker, until he stood directly before me. Close, he was worse than the rumors. He smelled of smoke, iron, and pine sap, but beneath it was something wilder. Feral, untamed, as though the wolf inside him was always seconds away from clawing its way to the surface. He looked down at me, and I swear the corners of his lips curved in the faintest shadow of a smirk. You are smaller than I imagined, he said. His voice deep, rough, vibrating through my bones. But the blood moon does not lie. You are mine. The words echoed through the hall like a sentence passed. My mother tried to pull me back, clinging to my arm, but Draven's hand shot out and gripped my wrist. His skin was burning hot. His grip like iron shackles. She belongs to me, he growled. His voice low enough to vibrate in the marrow of every wolf present. She belongs to herself, my mother cried, tears streaking down her cheeks. Draven's eyes flicked to her, cold and merciless. Not anymore. And before I could move, before I could scream, before I could even think, he did it. Right there. Before the entire pack, under the blood moon's merciless light, Alpha Draven pressed his mouth to the delicate skin at the juncture of my neck and shoulder. And bit. The sharp sting tore through me, white hot and searing. I gasped, choking on air as heat and fire shot through every nerve in my body. It wasn't a gentle mark. It wasn't a lover's claim. It was a brand. Brutal. Public. Irrevocable. The pack erupted. Some cheered. Others gasped. My father looked as though his soul had left him. My mother fell to her knees, sobbing into her hands. And me. I stood trembling, humiliated, violated, my skin burning with the Alpha's mark. It felt like chains tightening around my throat, my wrists, my ankles. I wanted to claw it off. I wanted to scream. But instead I stood there, silent, as Draven pulled back, blood glistening on his lips. His eyes alight with savage triumph. She is mine, he declared. His voice ringing like a war cry. By blood, by bond, by moonlight. And the pack howled in answer. Later that night, when the hall had emptied and the moonlight bled pale through the stone windows, I found myself alone with him. He sat in the Alpha's chair, no, his throne, watching me like a wolf studies prey. I stood several feet away, trembling, though I tried to keep my chin high. You had no right, I whispered, my voice hoarse. He leaned back, his silver eyes glittering. I had every right. You were promised to me before you were born. You are mine by law, by oath, by the goddess herself. I never agreed. I snapped, my fear cracking into rage. You can't just take me like I'm some object. His smirk deepened. And yet I just did. Heat flushed my face. My fists clenched. I hated him. Hated his arrogance, his cruelty. His absolute certainty that I was nothing more than a possession. Do you hate me? He asked suddenly. His voice quieter, more dangerous. Yes. His smile was slow, sharp, and chilling. Good. Hate is closer to passion than indifference. And passion can be turned. His words slithered into me like poison. Days passed in a blur. Everywhere I went in the pack's territory, I felt eyes on me. Wolves bowed, humans stared, and whispers chased me like shadows. Promised Luna. The cursed bride. The human girl marked by the Alpha. But inside I was still just Celine. Still the girl who wanted freedom, who wanted love on her own terms, not chains around her neck. And that's when Jacob returned. I found him in the woods, waiting near the border. His face pale. His honey brown eyes wide with horror as he stared at the mark on my neck. Celine! He breathed, stepping forward. Tell me it's not true. Tell me he didn't. Tears stung my eyes. He did. Right in front of everyone. I didn't have a choice. Jacob's jaw tightened. His hands balled into fists. You always have a choice. You don't understand, I whispered. This isn't just a man. It's an Alpha. Wolf. A bond sealed in blood and moonlight. It can't be broken. Then I'll break it, Jacob said fiercely. I don't care if he's a wolf or a king. You're not his. You're mine. The words hit me like a blow to the chest. I wanted to believe him. I wanted to throw myself into his arms, to believe love could undo destiny. But deep down I knew the truth. Draven would never let me go. And Jacob had no idea what kind of monster he was challenging. That night, as I lay in the bed the Alpha had given me, too big, too cold, too much like a cage, I touched the mark on my neck. Still burned. I hated him. But I couldn't deny the bond humming in my veins, a dangerous thread pulling me toward him even when my mind screamed to run. The moon goddess doesn't care about love, I thought bitterly. She only cares about balance. About power. About blood. And somehow, I was meant to be the balance for a man like Draven Veyron. The thought made me sick. But what made me sicker was the whisper that slid through me when I remembered his eyes on mine. His lips on my skin. His voice growling, "You are mine." Because a part of me, the part bound in blood, didn't want to fight it. Chapter 3, Rejection in Public. I had never felt as trapped as I did in the days after Draven marked me. The Alpha's crest had been carved into my skin by his bite, and with it came an invisible leash. I felt him everywhere. His presence pressed into my chest, his dominance whispering at the edge of my thoughts. Even when he wasn't in the room, I could sense him. His wolf prowled in the back of my mind like a caged predator. It was suffocating. I needed to breathe. I needed to remember who I was. So when the announcement came that Alpha Draven would present his new Luna to be at the full pack gathering, I knew I had a choice. submit and let them all see me as his possession, or defy him in front of every single wolf, chose defiance. The gathering was held in the arena, a vast circle of stone and fire pits where generations of wolves had celebrated, mourned, and spilled blood. The entire pack had come, thousands of eyes, all waiting to witness their alpha's prize. I stood beside Draven, draped in a ceremonial gown that shimmered silver under the moonlight. My hair had been braided with wolf teeth, my shoulders bare, the mark on my neck displayed like a crown of shame. Draven looked every bit the conqueror. His black tunic stretched across broad shoulders, his silver eyes cold and gleaming. He radiated power, the kind that made wolves bow their heads without thinking. But I didn't bow. When the drums ceased and silence fell, Draven's voice thundered across the arena. Tonight, I present Celine Hartwell, my fated mate, my promised Luna. By the oath sworn before her birth, she belongs to me, and through her, our pack will rise stronger than ever before. The pack roared, some in joy, others in resignation. Wolves howled, their voices echoing into the night. Draven turned to me, extending his hand. Kneel, Celine, he commanded. Kneel, and let them see you accept your place. The words sliced into me. Kneel. Before him. Before all of them. Something inside me snapped. I lifted my chin, my voice clear and sharp enough to cut the silence. No. The word rang out like a bell, shocking the air into stillness. The pack froze, staring at me as though I'd spat in the goddess's face. Draven's eyes narrowed. What did you say? I stepped back from his outstretched hand, my heart hammering but my voice steady. I will not kneel. I will not be your Luna. I did not choose this, and I will not pretend otherwise. You can mark me, you can cage me, but I will never bow to you. Gasps rippled through the arena. Some wolves growled, others shouted in outrage. Never in history had a mate rejected an alpha in front of his pack. Draven's jaw tightened, his chest rising with a slow, dangerous breath. His wolf stirred behind his eyes, silver flashing like lightning. You dare defy me, he growled, his voice low, vibrating with lethal promise. Yes, I said, my body trembling but my words unshaken. I dare, 'cause I am not yours. I never was. She belongs to me, he growled, his voice low enough to vibrate in the marrow of every wolf present. She belongs to herself, my mother cried, tears streaking down her cheeks. Draven's eyes flicked to her, cold and merciless. Not anymore. And before I could move, before I could scream, before I could even think, he did it. Right there. Before the entire pack, under the blood moon's merciless light, Alpha Draven pressed his mouth to the delicate skin at the juncture of my neck and shoulder. And bit. The sharp sting tore through me, white hot and searing. I gasped, choking on air as heat and fire shot through every nerve in my body. It wasn't a gentle mark. It wasn't a lover's claim. It was a brand. Brutal. Public. Irrevocable. The pack erupted. Some cheered. Others gasped. My father looked as though his soul had left him. My mother fell to her knees, sobbing into her hands. And me. I stood trembling, humiliated, violated, my skin burning with the alpha's mark. It felt like chains tightening around my throat, my wrists, my ankles. I wanted to claw it off. I wanted to scream. But instead I stood there, silent, as Draven pulled back, blood glistening on his lips. His eyes alight with savage triumph. She is mine, he declared. His voice ringing like a war cry. By blood, by bond, by moonlight. And the pack howled in answer. Later that night, when the hall had emptied and the moonlight bled pale through the stone windows, I found myself alone with him. He sat in the alpha's chair, no, his throne, watching me like a wolf studies prey. I stood several feet away, trembling, though I tried to keep my chin high. You had no right, I whispered, my voice hoarse. He leaned back, his silver eyes glittering. I had every right. You were promised to me before you were born. You are mine by law, by oath, by the goddess herself. I never agreed. I snapped, my fear cracking into rage. You can't just take me like I'm some object. His smirk deepened. And yet I just did. Heat flushed my face. My fists clenched. I hated him. Hated his arrogance, his cruelty. His absolute certainty that I was nothing more than a possession. Do you hate me? He asked suddenly. His voice quieter, more dangerous. Yes. His smile was slow, sharp, and chilling. Good. Hate is closer to passion than indifference. And passion can be turned. His words slithered into me like poison. Days passed in a blur. Everywhere I went in the pack's territory, I felt eyes on me. Wolves bowed, humans stared, and whispers chased me like shadows. Promised Luna. The cursed bride. The human girl marked by the Alpha. But inside I was still just Celine. Still the girl who wanted freedom, who wanted love on her own terms, not chains around her neck. And that's when Jacob returned. I found him in the woods, waiting near the border. His face pale. His honey brown eyes wide with horror as he stared at the mark on my neck. Celine! He breathed, stepping forward. Tell me it's not true. Tell me he didn't. Tears stung my eyes. He did. Right in front of everyone. I didn't have a choice. Jacob's jaw tightened. His hands balled into fists. You always have a choice. You don't understand, I whispered. This isn't just a man. It's an alpha. Wolf. A bond sealed in blood and moonlight. It can't be broken. Then I'll break it, Jacob said fiercely. I don't care if he's a wolf or a king. You're not his. You're mine. The words hit me like a blow to the chest. I wanted to believe him. I wanted to throw myself into his arms, to believe love could undo destiny. But deep down I knew the truth. Draven would never let me go. And Jacob had no idea what kind of monster he was challenging. That night, as I lay in the bed the Alpha had given me, too big, too cold, too much like a cage, I touched the mark on my neck. Still burned. I hated him. But I couldn't deny the bond humming in my veins, a dangerous thread pulling me toward him even when my mind screamed to run. The moon goddess doesn't care about love, I thought bitterly. She only cares about balance. About power. About blood. And somehow, I was meant to be the balance for a man like Draven Veyron. The thought made me sick. But what made me sicker was the whisper that slid through me when I remembered his eyes on mine. His lips on my skin. His voice growling, "You are mine." Because a part of me, the part bound in blood, didn't want to fight it. Chapter 3, Rejection in Public. I had never felt as trapped as I did in the days after Draven marked me. The Alpha's crest had been carved into my skin by his bite, and with it came an invisible leash. I felt him everywhere. His presence pressed into my chest. His dominance whispering at the edge of my thoughts. Even when he wasn't in the room, I could sense him. His wolf prowled in the back of my mind like a caged predator. It was suffocating. I needed to breathe. I needed to remember who I was. So when the announcement came that Alpha Draven would present his new Luna to be at the full pack gathering, I knew I had a choice. Submit and let them all see me as his possession, or defy him in front of every single wolf. Chose defiance. The gathering was held in the arena, a vast circle of stone and fire pits where generations of wolves had celebrated, mourned, and spilled blood. The entire pack had come. Thousands of eyes, all waiting to witness their Alpha's prize. I stood beside Draven, draped in a ceremonial gown that shimmered silver under the moonlight. My hair had been braided with wolf teeth, my shoulders bare, the mark on my neck displayed like a crown of shame. Draven looked every bit the conqueror. His black tunic stretched across broad shoulders, his silver eyes cold and gleaming. He radiated power, the kind that made wolves bow their heads without thinking. But I didn't bow. When the drums ceased and silence fell, Draven's voice thundered across the arena. Tonight, I present Celine Hartwell, my fated mate, my promised Luna. By the oath sworn before her birth, she belongs to me, and through her, our pack will rise stronger than ever before. The pack roared, some in joy, others in resignation. Wolves howled, their voices echoing into the night. Draven turned to me, extending his hand. "Kneel, Celine," he commanded. "Kneel, and let them see you accept your place." The words sliced into me. Kneel. Before him. Before all of them. Something inside me snapped. I lifted my chin, my voice clear and sharp enough to cut the silence. "No." The word rang out like a bell, shocking the air into stillness. The pack froze, staring at me as though I'd spat in the goddess's face. Draven's eyes narrowed. "What did you say?" I stepped back from his outstretched hand, my heart hammering but my voice steady. "I will not kneel. I will not be your Luna. I did not choose this, and I will not pretend otherwise. You can mark me, you can cage me, but I will never bow to you." Gasps rippled through the arena. Some wolves growled, others shouted in outrage. Never in history had a mate rejected an alpha in front of his pack. Draven's jaw tightened, his chest rising with a slow, dangerous breath. His wolf stirred behind his eyes, silver flashing like lightning. "You dare defy me," he growled, his voice low, vibrating with lethal promise. "Yes," I said, my body trembling but my words unshaken. "I dare. 'Cause I am not yours. I never was." Chapter 5. Stolen by the Alpha. The air between them was thick with death. Draven's silver eyes blazed like molten steel. His frame tense, shoulders squared, the very picture of a predator deciding how he would kill. Jacob, trembling but unyielding, stood in front of me like a man guarding a cliff against the ocean.
"Brave. Foolish. Human.
Choose," Draven repeated, his voice lower, darker. It wasn't a request. It was a decree. My mouth opened, but no words came. How could I choose? Between destiny and love. Between the bond and the boy who made me feel free.
"I."
Before I could speak, Draven moved. It was a blur of speed, a storm breaking loose. Jacob barely had time to gasp before Draven's hand closed around his throat, lifting him off the ground like he weighed nothing.
"No!"
I screamed, rushing forward, clawing at Draven's arm, but he didn't even flinch. His gaze stayed locked on Jacob, cold and merciless. "You dare touch what is mine?" Draven growled, his voice vibrating through the trees. "A human. Pathetic." Jacob gasped for air, his legs kicking wildly. "She's not yours." The words were defiance, but they were also his last mistake. Draven's hand tightened. Jacob's face went red, then purple. My heart pounded so hard I thought it would burst from my chest.
"Stop!"
I screamed, grabbing at Draven's wrist. "Please stop. You'll kill him." For a moment I thought he would. For a moment I saw it in his eyes, the thrill of the kill, the hunger to crush every trace of competition. And then, slowly, deliberately, he dropped Jacob. My love crumpled to the ground, choking, gasping for air.
"Pathetic," Draven spat, turning his back on him as if Jacob weren't even worth the effort.
His gaze found me, and the bond seared hot, demanding obedience.
"We are leaving. Now."
"I'm not." He didn't wait for me to finish. His hand shot out, grabbing my wrist with iron strength.
"Let me go."
I cried, twisting, fighting him, but his grip was unbreakable. Draven yanked me forward, pulling me into his chest. His lips brushed my ear, his breath hot against my skin.
"You belong to me, Celine. You were promised before you even breathed your first breath. Nothing changes that. Not your rebellion. Not your human. Not even you."
His words were chains, clamping tight around my soul.
"Run, Celine."
Jacob coughed, his voice raw, desperate.
"Don't let him."
Draven turned, and in one swift motion, slammed his boot into Jacob's chest, sending him sprawling back into the dirt. Jacob wheezed, blood trickling from his lip, but still he tried to rise.
"Stay down, boy," Draven snarled.
"If I see you again, you won't live long enough to regret it." And then the world shifted. Draven pulled me against him, his arms a prison, and the forest blurred. One moment we were in the clearing, the next he was dragging me through the trees with impossible speed.
his wolf strength carrying me as though I weighed nothing. I kicked, screamed, pounded at his chest, but it was useless. He was immovable. "Stop fighting," he growled, his voice a rumble in his chest. "The more you resist, the rougher I'll make this." The words froze me. Not because I feared him, but because I knew he meant them. We burst into the heart of his territory, wolves bowing their heads as we passed. None dared look at me, though I felt their stares burning into my skin. I was the Alpha's prize, his stolen bride, his property, and they all knew it. He carried me into his house, a fortress of stone and steel, and kicked the door shut behind us. The echo of it slammed like a final verdict. When he set me down, I stumbled, my legs weak from the rush, from the terror. "Why?" I demanded, spinning to face him. "Why do this? Why claim me like some trophy? Why not let me go?" Draven's smirk was slow, dangerous. "Because you are mine. Because you were promised to me before you were even born. Your mother swore it. Your blood sealed it. The goddess herself marked it. Do you think your childish rebellion changes fate?" My voice cracked. "I don't love you." His eyes darkened, wolf rising behind them. He stepped closer, the heat of his presence suffocating. "Love has nothing to do with this. You are my mate, Iluna, whether you accept it or not." He leaned down, his lips brushing mine, not a kiss but a threat. "And soon the pack will see you at my side. Not as the girl who defied me, but as the woman who bears my mark again." My stomach twisted. Rage and terror burned through me. "I will never be yours," I spat. His smile widened, cruel, amused. "We'll see." That night, he locked me in a room at the top of his house. Barred windows, heavy door, no escape. I paced like a caged wolf, my hands shaking, my mind racing back to Jacob. Was he alive? Would he come for me? Could he? Or had Draven already won? The moonlight spilled through the bars, cold and merciless, and I swore to myself that no matter what chains he wrapped me in, no matter what promises bound me before birth, I would find a way to break them. Even if it meant tearing down the moon goddess herself. Chapter 6. The pack divided. The morning came with howls. I woke in the locked room to the sound of wolves outside. Their voices sharp, not celebratory, but fractured, clashing against one another like swords. My chest tightened. Wolves never howled like that unless something was terribly wrong. The door opened. Draven stood in the frame, dressed in black. His silver eyes gleaming like a storm brewing over steel waters. Behind him lingered two guards, broad-shouldered and grim. "Get up," he ordered. I glared. "Where are you taking me now?" "Another cage." His mouth curved in the faintest smirk. "The council. They demand to see the Luna I claimed." "I am not your Luna. You are what I say you are." The council chamber was a cathedral of power. Long stone walls, banners of black and silver, firelight flickering across carved wolves. The elders sat in a crescent, their faces aged and sharp, their eyes shifting between me and Draven like vultures over carrion. The moment we entered, whispers broke out. "She is human-born. No, wolf-born. She was not marked by choice. The bond is sacred." Draven raised a hand, and silence fell. His voice cut through the air like a blade. "This is Selene. Mimi. Iluna. Promised before she drew her first breath. The moon goddess sealed it, and now it is fulfilled." Gasps rippled through the chamber. One of the elders, a woman with hair white as bone, stood, her wrinkled hands trembling. "You defy our laws, Alpha. You dragged her here in chains against her will. That is not a bond, it is an abomination." My heart lurched. Someone was speaking for me. Draven's eyes narrowed. "Watch your tongue, Elder Lyra. Do not mistake the girl's rebellion for my failure." "It is not rebellion," Lyra snapped. Her voice was cracked but strong. "The mating bond is sacred only when it is accepted freely. Force corrupts it. You risk bringing curse upon the pack." Another elder, a man with a scar across his jaw, slammed his fist on the table. "Enough with superstition. The Alpha has spoken. The promise was made. And promises bind us more tightly than whims of affection. The pact needs stability, not romance. Whispers surged again. Some nodded. Others scowled. I stood there, my fists clenched, my pulse wild. This was no longer about me. This was about them, the future of the pack, the old ways colliding with the new. Draven's hand landed heavy on my shoulder. Claiming, branding. The matter is closed. She's mine. End of debate. But Elder Lyra's voice rose once more, shrill and shaking with rage. Then know this, Alpha Draven. If you cage her, if you crush her will, the pack will fracture. Wolves will turn against wolves. And when blood is spilled, it will be on your hands. Later, when the council dismissed us, Draven dragged me from the chamber, his grip bruising my arm. You see what you've done? He hissed as the doors shut behind us. Your defiance feeds them, weakens me. I twisted out of his hold, fury burning through my veins. Good. Let them see what you are. Let them tear you apart for it. His jaw clenched, wolf flickering hot in his gaze. Careful, little mate. You tempt me to silence you the way I silenced your human, Jacob. My throat tightened, but I didn't let the fear show. Instead, I leaned closer, my voice a whisper meant to cut deeper than a scream. You think chains make you strong, Draven? They only prove how terrified you are. Terrified that if I were free, I would never choose you. For a heartbeat, something flickered in his eyes. Anger. Pain. Hunger. All tangled together. Then he grabbed me by the waist, pulling me so close I could feel the rumble of his wolf in his chest. One day soon, Celine, he murmured, his lips brushing my ear, you will stop fighting me. And when that day comes, it won't be the council or your precious human you'll cry out for. It will be me. He released me so suddenly I staggered. Until then, he said, turning away, consider this your war. But remember, I always win wars. That night, I stared at the barred window of my chamber, the moonlight spilling like a blade across the floor. Pack was divided. The council split. Blood threatened to follow. And somehow, I was at the center of it all. Not just a stolen Luna. Not just a promised mate. A spark in dry timber. And when the fire caught, I didn't know if Draven would still be standing. Or if I would burn with him. Chapter 7 Secrets of the Blood Moon. The days blurred into a cage of stone and shadows. Draven kept me under lock and key. Guards stationed outside my door like I was a dangerous weapon instead of a stolen girl. Maybe, in their eyes, I was both. I had nothing but questions, and every time I asked, Draven gave me silence, or worse, the kind of smile that meant he enjoyed watching me squirm. But wolves talk even when they think they whisper. And one night I heard them. Two guards outside my door, voices hushed but sharp. She shouldn't be here, one growled. The promise is law, the other answered. It's not the promise I fear. It's the blood moon. Oz. You mean the prophecy? Yes. You know what happens when a child is promised before birth under a waning moon. She carries the curse. My blood ran cold. Curse. I pressed closer to the door, straining to catch every word. They say the promised mate will either save the pack, or destroy it. That's why Elder Lyra fights him. She thinks the girl is doom walking on two legs. My knees weakened. Earth. Destroy. Was that what they saw when they looked at me? The next morning I demanded answers. Tell me what they meant, I said when Draven brought me food himself. A rare occurrence. The prophecy. The blood moon. His hand stilled on the tray. His silver eyes narrowed. What did you hear? Enough to know you're hiding something. He set the tray down with a thud and stepped closer. You want the truth, Celine. Fain. You were born beneath a blood moon eclipse. Rare one. The night your mother promised you to me. The elders claimed it was fate. The goddesses will. But others whispered it was a curse. That you would either lift the darkness from our line or drown it in blood. My throat tightened. And you believed them. His jaw clenched. I don't believe in curses. Believe in bonds. In promises. and strength. And you, Celine, are mine by all three. But what if they're right? I shot back, heart racing. What if the curse is real? What if being with me destroys you? His lips curved into a humorless smile. Then I will burn with you. But until then, I will have what is mine. That night, Elder Lyra came to me. She slipped past the guards with nothing but a staff and a glare that could have felled a wolf twice her size. Child, she whispered, gripping my hands, her fingers cold but strong. You must listen. Draven hides behind pride, but he fears the prophecy. As do we all. Tell me everything. Her eyes searched mine, as if weighing whether I was ready. The Blood Moon prophecy says this. The promised child will either bring the Alpha line to glory, or to ruin. She will be the Alpha's heart, or his death. My pulse thundered in my ears. His death. Lyra nodded. If your bond is forced, if love is broken, the prophecy twists. Instead of binding you together, it destroys you both. The Alpha dies, and the pack scatters. The room swayed around me. My hands shook in hers. Then why let this happen? I whispered. Because power blinds men, she said bitterly. Draven thinks he can outmuscle fate. But fate does not bow. And if you stay here, child, you may watch him die, and take the pack with him. Her words sank like stones in my chest. Save him or destroy him. Luna or curse. Heart or death. And the worst part. I didn't know which one I wanted. Chapter 8. The Alpha's Jealousy. The prophecy gnawed at me like a wolf at bone. Save him or destroy him. Alpha's heart or Alpha's death. Every time Draven looked at me with that unrelenting claim in his eyes, I wondered which fate I was walking toward. And every time I thought of Jacob, broken and bleeding on the forest floor, I wondered if the choice had already been made. It happened 3 nights later. The guards outside my chamber shifted uneasily, muttering about strange scents in the wind. I pressed against the window bars, inhaling, and my heart stuttered. Jacob. I would know his scent anywhere. Smoke and pine, cut with human warmth that wolves could never mimic. Before I could cry out, the shadows moved, and he was there, climbing the stone like a man possessed, his hands raw from the climb, his face bruised but determined. Celine, he whispered, clutching the bars. I came back for you. Tears burned my eyes. You shouldn't be here. If Draven. I don't care about Draven. His fingers brushed mine through the iron. I'm not leaving without you. The door burst open. Draven stood in the threshold, silver eyes blazing like storm lightning. He didn't roar, didn't snarl. He didn't need to. The silence was worse. His gaze shifted from me to Jacob, and the air itself thickened. You, Draven said softly, dangerously. You dare crawl back into my den. Jacob's grip on the bars tightened. I don't fear you, Alpha. Draven's laugh was sharp, humorless. You should. He moved with terrifying speed. One moment he was at the door, the next his hand was around Jacob's throat again, yanking him off the wall, slamming him against the stone. Stop! I screamed, pounding at the bars. Draven, don't! You'll kill him! Jacob choked, but his eyes burned with defiance. She doesn't love you. The words struck deeper than claws. Draven's jaw tightened, his hand trembling against Jacob's throat. Not from weakness, but from restraint. Leave, Draven hissed, his voice like broken glass. Leave now before I decide to paint these walls with your blood. Jacob's gaze flicked to mine, desperate. Come with me, Celine. Please. My heart tore in two. My mouth opened. But Draven hurled him back into the night. Jacob landed hard in the dirt below, coughing, staggering to his feet. Wolves stirred in the shadows, their growls low and eager. Touch him and you answer to me, Draven snapped, and the pack stilled. Jacob staggered back, his eyes finding mine once more, pain and love etched in every line of his face. Then he ran, disappearing into the trees. Draven turned on me. His wolf was in his eyes, his breathing ragged, his body trembling with barely leashed violence. "You let him come here," he snarled. "I didn't. You called for him," he accused, stepping closer, towering over me. "You think I don't feel it? The way your heart races for him. The way your soul aches." My voice cracked. "Because I love him." The words tore from me like blood from an open wound. And in the silence that followed, they hung in the air like a death sentence. Draven froze. His chest rose and fell. His hands clenched at his sides. His jaw tight enough to shatter. When he finally spoke, his voice was low, broken, but edged with steel. "Then love him in your dreams, little mate. Because in this world, in this pack, you are mine. And if I have to rip the human from your memory, from your very soul, I will." He stepped closer, his hand gripping my jaw, forcing me to meet his burning eyes. "You are promised," he whispered, almost tenderly. "And promises are stronger than love." That night, when he finally left me alone, I curled against the cold bars of the window and let the tears come. The curse was alive between us. And if fate demanded I choose, I feared my choice might kill them both. Chapter 9, Betrayal in the Council. The council chamber smelled of ash and old grievances. Stone benches ringed the open hearth like ribs around a heart. Faces leaned from those benches, each one worn by winters and politics, each one keeping score of debts and slights. I stepped into that room with Draven at my side, but I did not feel like his companion. I felt like a token dragged into a game where the stakes were always measured in blood. Elder Lyra rose first. Her voice, though aged and thin, carried the weight of precedent. "Alpha," she said, eyes fixed on Draven, "you have made a choice that endangers every household in this territory." Murmurs rolled through the chamber. Some sounded like agreement, others like careful silence, policymakers afraid to pick a side until they felt the wind change. Draven's answer was a flat line. "I claimed what was promised. The law binds me. The moon witnessed the vow." Elder Malric, the scarred man with the jutting chin, slammed a fist onto the table. "Law," he scoffed. "What law permits the sequestration of a child's will?" She resisted publicly. "You humiliated the pack with your spectacle. This isn't order. It's vanity." His words landed and multiplied. Like sparks in straw, they lit old resentments. For years, Draven had centralized power, breaking rival families and absorbing their lands. He had enemies sown into every hillside. Those enemies now smelled weakness. "You would drag us into war over a single woman," another elder demanded. "We have raids to plan and crops to protect. An alpha who courts civil division is no alpha at all." I watched the room tilt between fury and fear. I watched how men who had once sworn loyalty folded like paper when threatened by consequence. The revelation of Jacob's intrusion had already seeded doubt. If a human could cross Draven's borders and confront his mate, surely the boundaries between the alpha's persona and his mortality had thinned. Elder Lyra's hands trembled as she pushed her staff forward. "There is more at play than mere property," she said, softening. "The prophecy. You have jeopardized the balance by forcing a bond. If the omen is true, you risk your lineage, and with it, the stability of all who follow you." A murmur of fear threaded through the elders. Draven's jaw tightened until the muscles in his neck stood out like ropes. Malric leaned forward until his scarred cheek almost brushed mine, as if proximity could make his words sharper. "You have alienated those who feed your warriors. Traitors will withdraw. Allies will doubt your wisdom. Someone must act to prevent tragedy." The silence that followed Nathaniel Malric's declaration was not empty. It was expectant. A coup does not need blades to begin. It needs whispers, then votes, then momentum. I felt it like a current coiling around us. The elders were assembling the argument. A motion would follow. Draven's face shifted from controlled contempt to something ragged and ready. He rose with the motion of a man who has rehearsed fury and found it stale. "So you plan to depose me?" His voice did not just carry, it rattled. "It may come to that," Malric replied.
for the good of the pack. That line, for the good of the pack, was a blade in wolfskin. It meant sacrifice, usually of someone else's limbs. I could see the logic. Remove the man who had given away his stead for a woman who might bring ruin. But the logic also read like old men rehearsing how to keep their power. Lyra's hand found mine before anyone noticed. She squeezed once, like a benediction and a warning. "Child," she murmured, eyes imploring, "they will use you as a banner. You must be careful whose standard you carry." "No one is using me," I whispered, though the tremor in my voice betrayed me. Standing at the center of a council's quarrel, everything I said would be twisted into justification for action. Words aren't weapons in this room. They are paper maps used to call messengers and soldiers. Malric's supporters began to nod. A vote was proposed more subtly than through formal lines. Conversation became movement. Men drew sides by the stories they repeated, by whom they avoided meeting eye to eye. Even the younger wolves at the back, usually quiet, shifted their weight toward Malric, hungry for change and the prestige of being on the side that toppled an alpha. Draven moved with cold purpose. He called for discipline, ordering patrols to double and messengers to send warnings to bordering packs. His voice again donned its armor, the alpha in command. But cracks showed where his control frayed. He needed loyalty, not just fear. "Let the pack decide," he said finally, and that phrase was an elegant pivot. He proposed a trial, a demonstration of his judgment rather than a unilateral decree. "We will let the law speak. A vote of confidence. If they stand with me, the matter ends. If they do not, I will step down in favor of what keeps the peace." It was a gamble, but a gamble he could bluff. He had power, and power can be theatrically negotiated into acceptance. Malric leaned back, smiling thinly. "Very well, Alpha. A vote. Let the pack choose." A vote meant time, which was the currency of plots. For a day, the council met more formally, then dismissed. People took the corridors with murmured plans and sharp glances. I realized, as we left the chamber, that my face would be the image carried to every hearth and stable. I would be painted heroine or harbinger depending on who told the tale. That afternoon, while Draven addressed the warriors, a senator slipped into my chamber. Rian, a younger councilman with a mouth like a hawk. His motives were never pure. Ambition sharpened him. He locked the door behind him and sat on the edge of my bed. "You know they will brand you as either scapegoat or savior," Rian said without preface. His tone was practical, not cruel. "If Malric wins, you will likely be exiled or used as a bargaining chip. If Draven wins, you will be his Luna in truth, and the pack will tighten like a fist. Both roads cage you." "Neither path is consent," I murmured, feeling hollow as an old drum. "No," Rian agreed. "But power loves a piece to wave. You must decide if you will be the banner they carry, or the woman who chooses her own standard." "How can I choose?" "Yes. Every choice is someone else's chess piece." Rian's expression softened briefly. "Then stop being the piece. Start being the player." His words should have been a comfort. Instead, they felt like a burden. I was not a strategist. I was a girl who had been stolen and marked. Yet they looked to me as if my reaction could alter the ledger of war. I left before Rian could press his counsel further. In the courtyard, wolves trained under the watch of lieutenants. Hands moved with the choreography of habit and violence. I listened and counted, noticing small things. Who avoided Draven's eye, who laughed too loudly when asked about loyalty. Patterns are the bones under skin. When the vote came at dusk, men and women filled the arena. Torches flamed high. The air tasted of iron and pine. Draven stood on a dais. I stood beside him, but I felt removed, like a statue placed next to a general to lend gravitas to his image. Lyra spoke first. She did not demand Draven's removal. Instead, she proposed a test of leadership, a quest to prove whether his choices would foster survival or doom. Her motion, clever and veiled, required Draven to undertake a dangerous winter raid to seize food from a rival pack.
If he succeeded, his followers would not question him again. If he failed, their trust could be shifted to someone more cautious. It was a risky motion but calculated to appeal to Wolf justice. Strength and success vindicate rule. The elders who craved order applauded, and those who craved rebellion hesitated. Malric bristled, but he also saw the benefit. A failed raid could be construed as Draven's hubris. He could still profit from calling the Alpha reckless. The votes fragmented. Few wanted outright war in the heart of winter. In the end, the council agreed to Lyra's motion. The test would be decided by action rather than words. Draven accepted it with a tight smile that did not reach his eyes. "Then I will show you who I am," he said. "And once the pack sees my success, these doubts will die." That night, as preparations began for the raid, I caught Draven's eye across the campfire. For a moment, his stance softened, and something like a grim affection passed through his look. Then the mask slid back into place. He turned to his officers. Strategy poured from him like oil. I moved through the camp like a ghost. Men and women offered furtive glances, some sympathetic, most guarded. Jacob's absence felt like a wound I could not touch. The hunter's quietly spoken prayers for victory sounded like a chorus of fate I could not control. Lyra found me at the edge of the training fields. "Whatever happens tomorrow," she said plainly, "know that you matter beyond your marking. We may not agree on your path, but your life counts. Take that with you into the fire." Her care was not heroic. It was human. It anchored me with warmth I had not expected. I held it tight as we parted. The dawn came cold and thin. The pack readied for the raid. Warriors strapped leather and whispered vows. Flags fluttered. Draven's silhouette was a cliff in motion. He moved with the kind of authority a man must have when he asks others to risk everything for his cause. As we set out, I walked not as a conquered prize but as a witness. The world pressed in. Crisp air, the snap of branches, the murmur of pledged loyalty. Each step felt like walking toward a verdict. Each breath tasted of iron. A council had cast the die. Action over debate. And as the trees closed around us, I understood that the betrayal was not a single moment but a thousand choices. Votes cast in rooms with torches, stories spread at kitchen tables, promises kept and promises broken. My life was now the hinge on which those choices would swing. What I did not know then was whether the hinge would hold, or splinter under the strain. Chapter 10, The Night of Fire. The forest swallowed us whole. Pines pressed in, tall and black, their needles whispering secrets in the wind. Snow crunched beneath boots and paws, muffling voices into breath and rhythm. Draven led the raid, his shoulders broad beneath his cloak, every movement sharp with purpose. Warriors fanned out behind him in a V formation, their eyes glinting with hunger for victory. I followed, wrapped in borrowed furs, my heart hammering in time with each step. I wasn't supposed to be there. Lunas didn't march into raids. But Draven had ordered me close, as if the bond demanded proof before the entire pack. Or maybe he just didn't trust me out of his sight. Either way, I was here. Walking into war with a man I couldn't decide if I hated or pitied. The rival pack's camp sprawled across a clearing, guarded by torchlight and lazy sentries. Smoke curled from wooden huts. The smell of roasted meat lingered in the cold, almost taunting. Wolves shifted uneasily at Draven's signal. Hunger sharpened their resolve. "Swift," he growled. "Silent. Take the stores, burn what we can't carry. No survivors." My stomach turned. No survivors. He gave the order as if he were asking for another log on the fire. I felt my fingers tremble inside my gloves. The warriors melted into the shadows, weapons flashing briefly in the moonlight before disappearing. Draven stayed beside me, his gaze fixed on the enemy camp. His control was terrifying. The kind of composure only a man who had killed 1,000 times could manage. Then chaos. A sentry shouted, "Too late." Wolves burst from the tree line, claws and steel cutting through startled men. The air filled with snarls, screams, and the crack of bone.
Fire arrows hissed into huts. Flames leapt skyward, painting the snow orange and gold. I stood frozen, heart hammering against my ribs. The prophecy whispered through me like a curse. Heart or death. Was this what it meant? To stand by his side while the world burned. Draven's hand closed around mine suddenly, dragging me forward. Stay close, he barked. We wove through the inferno, stepping over bodies, smoke stinging my throat. I wanted to scream at him to pull free, but fear locked me tighter than his grip. Then I saw him, Jacob. He wasn't supposed to be here, not in enemy territory, not among wolves. Yet there he was, crouched behind a fallen log, bow in hand. His face was streaked with ash. His eyes wild but fixed on me. Our gazes collided like sparks on dry kindling. Celine! He shouted, reckless, desperate. Draven's head snapped toward the sound. His jaw clenched, fury twisting his features. He dropped my hand and charged, a predator unchained. No! I cried, stumbling forward. Jacob loosed an arrow. It grazed Draven's arm, tearing his cloak but barely slowing him. Draven leapt, shifting mid-air. His body exploding into fur and muscle. A massive black wolf crashed down where Jacob had stood, jaws snapping. Jacob rolled, scrambling to his feet, knife flashing. He slashed once, catching Draven across the shoulder. Blood sprayed the snow. The pack howled in unison, sensing their alpha wounded. The fight around us grew more frenzied, as if the outcome of this duel determined their fate. Run, Celine! Jacob yelled, eyes pleading. But I couldn't move. My body betrayed me, torn between two anchors, the man who had stolen me and the boy who had loved me. And then betrayal struck. From the shadows, another wolf lunged. Not at Jacob, but at Draven. Packmate. One of his own. The wolf's teeth sank into Draven's flank, ripping deep. Draven roared in agony, twisting to throw the traitor off. I gasped, horror flooding me. This wasn't just war. This was mutiny. The council's doubts, Malric's whispers, Lyra's warnings, they had all led here. Someone had chosen this night, this raid, to make their move. Draven staggered, bleeding, surrounded by fire and enemies. His eyes, silver and burning, locked on mine for a fraction of a heartbeat. And in that look I saw it. Not rage, not command, but fear. The prophecy echoed again. She will be the Alpha's heart, or his death. And I realized, trembling, that tonight might be both. Chapter 11, Chains of Choice. Flames clawed at the sky, hungry and bright. The camp was chaos. Wolves tearing flesh, humans scattering, fire splitting wood with thunderous cracks. But all I could see was Draven, bleeding and snarling, as his own warrior's teeth sank deeper into his flank. Jacob lunged at the traitor wolf, knife flashing. His blade cut across fur and flesh, forcing the beast to recoil with a howl. For an instant, Draven staggered free, blood pouring down his side. Celine! Jacob gasped, spinning toward me, his face streaked with soot. Now's your chance. Come with me, leave him. He'll die here. My breath caught. The prophecy beat inside me like a second heart. Heart or death. Heart or death. Draven swayed on his paws, shifting back into his human form with sheer force of will. Naked, covered in blood. He dropped to one knee in the snow. His silver eyes blazing. Even wounded, even betrayed. He looked every inch a king who refused to fall. Don't! He rasped at me, voice raw with pain. Don't you dare choose him. For a moment, the world narrowed to a terrible silence. Two men. Two destinies. One promise that had shackled me before I had even drawn breath. If I ran with Jacob, Draven's enemies would finish him. The tyrant would die, and I would be free. Or so Jacob promised. But if I stayed, if I put my hands on Draven and healed him with a bond, I would be sealing myself into his chains forever. I would be the Alpha's heart, not his death. The choice wasn't just mine. It was written in the stars, in blood, in the bone-deep curse of my birth. Celine! Jacob's voice cracked.
He's nothing but your jailer. Don't let his lies bind you. Come with me. Now. Draven's lips curled into a bitter, pained smile. And what will he give you, little mate? A life on the run. A grave in the woods. He can't even protect himself, Jacob snarled. Better a free grave than a gilded cage. Their words cut me open. My lungs burned with smoke, my throat raw from ash, but I forced myself forward. I knelt beside Draven, my hand trembling as it hovered over his wound. His blood steamed in the cold, staining the snow black. His eyes locked on mine, and for the first time, there was no arrogance, no claim. Only need. Celine, he whispered. Don't let me fall. I pressed my palm to his side. The bond flared. It was like lightning ripping through my veins. Fire and ice, rage and desire. Draven's breath shuddered. His body arching as the wound closed beneath my touch. Muscle stitching, blood sealing, skin knitting smooth. The power wasn't mine. It was ours. Curse, a gift, a chain. Jacob's face crumpled. No. I tore my hand away, gasping, tears streaming down my face. Draven's strength returned in a rush. He surged to his feet, towering again, eyes burning brighter than the flames around us. Mine, he growled, his voice like thunder, echoing through the clearing. She chose. The traitor wolves froze. Even the fire seemed to hesitate. Draven's pack howled in answer. The sound deafening, terrifying, absolute. Jacob staggered back, betrayal etched into every line of his face. His voice was barely more than a whisper, but I heard it like a blade in my chest. You just condemned yourself. And maybe he was right. Because as Draven's arm closed around my shoulders, pulling me against his blood-slick chest, I felt it too. Had made my choice. But I didn't yet know if it was to save the Alpha's heart. Or destroy my own. Chapter 12, The Truth About My Parents. The fire smoldered long after the battle ended. Ash drifted through the trees like black snow. Wolves dragged bodies into heaps while others howled victory into the poisoned night. But for me, there was no triumph. Only questions that burned hotter than the flames we'd left behind. Draven's arm was heavy across my shoulders. His body radiating heat, but I couldn't stop shaking. Jacob's last words echoed in my ears. You just condemned yourself. Yet it wasn't Jacob's anger that haunted me most. It was the look in Draven's eyes when I touched him. Not triumph, not cruelty, but relief. A man drowning who had finally found air. Why me? Why always me? Later, when the pack returned to the stronghold, the healers fussed over Draven's reopened wounds. He dismissed them with a snarl. His gaze fixed on me like a tether that refused to break. Come, he ordered at last, dragging me down the corridor to the chamber below the council hall. The stone room smelled of damp and old blood. A single torch burned, shadows twitching across the walls. At the center lay a heavy chest, carved with runes that pulsed faintly in the dark. Draven dropped to one knee before it. His movements uncharacteristically solemn. This is why you were promised, he said quietly. The truth your father died for. The truth your mother never told you. He opened the chest. Inside, bound in leather and sealed with wax, lay scrolls older than any kingdom I had read about. Their ink shimmered faintly, as if the moon itself had kissed each word. Draven unrolled one. His fingers tracing the curling script. The Covenant of the First Moon, he said. Written when wolves first swore fealty to the moon goddess. My throat tightened. What does this have to do with me? He looked up, and for once, there was no arrogance in his silver eyes. Only grim certainty. Because your mother was not just any woman. She was the last daughter of the Luna priestesses. Her bloodline carried the power to bind or break alphas. That is why your father offered you before your first cry. Not for love, not for alliance, for survival. Without you, his pack would have been slaughtered. With you, he bought them peace. The words sank into me like knives. My parents, I whispered, horrified. They sold me. Draven's jaw clenched. They consecrated you. You were promised not to me, but to the Alpha throne itself, to whoever carried its blood when you came of age. That happens to be me. My stomach twisted. So I was never a daughter. I was currency. He didn't deny it. Rage flared, sharp enough to burn through the numbness. You knew, I spat. You've always known. That's why you call me mate, why you won't let me go. It isn't love, it's obligation. A contract signed in my blood before I could even walk. Draven rose slowly, towering, the torchlight painting him in shadow and flame. You think I wanted this? His voice cracked like a whip. Do you think I wanted a bond forced on me by ghosts and dead promises? I despised it. I despised you. Until the night I realized you were the only thing holding me together. I froze, caught between fury and disbelief. What are you saying? He stepped closer, his hand brushing my cheek, rough with dried blood. I am saying the prophecy was written because of you. You are not just promised, Celine. You are the knife at my throat, and the heart in my chest. My fate is chained to yours, whether I want it or not. The room tilted. I staggered back, choking on the truth. My parents had sold me. The goddess had cursed me. And Draven, my captor, my mate, my executioner, was as much a prisoner of the promise as I was. For the first time I saw not just the Alpha who ruled with fear, but the man shackled to a fate he hated. And that was the cruelest truth of all. Chapter 13. The Human's Revenge. The truth clung to me like smoke after fire. I could still hear Draven's words echoing in the chamber beneath the council hall. You were consecrated. Not promised to me, but to the throne. My parents had bartered me away before my first breath. And worse, the Alpha who claimed me was no freer than I was. We were both chains in the goddess's design. But even chains can rattle. And somewhere out there, Jacob was still fighting for me. It began with whispers in the night. Guards muttering about missing supplies. Stable boys gossiping about horses released from their stalls. Strange scents in the forest. Human mixed with wolf. I knew before they spoke his name. Jacob was close. 3 nights later, the proof came in blood. The Alpha's patrol stumbled back through the gates before dawn. Their armor slashed, their faces pale. One dropped to his knees in the courtyard, clutching an arrow tipped with silver. Ambush, he rasped. Humans. Rogues with them. They knew our route. My chest went cold. Jacob. He had found allies. And not just men, but wolves willing to turn against their Alpha. Draven's fury was a living thing. His eyes glowed molten. His fists curled until his knuckles split. Find them, he roared to his warriors. Drag me the traitors by their throats. And the human, bring him alive. I'll gut him myself. That night I couldn't sleep. I sat at the barred window, staring into the forest, praying Jacob would hear me across the distance. Don't be reckless. Don't get caught. But Jacob was nothing if not reckless. And he had already been caught once before. The next morning, the pack gathered in the square. A prisoner had been taken. I pushed through the crowd, my heart in my throat. And there he was, Jacob. He stood between two guards, blood crusted along his jaw. His wrists bound with silver manacles that seared his skin. Yet his eyes burned brighter than the torches around us. Draven descended the steps of the hall, every inch the Alpha King. Cloak dragging, wounds from the raid already scars. Human, he said coldly. You dare ambush my patrols. You dare defy me on my own land. Jacob spat blood into the snow. I don't fear you, beast. The crowd gasped, wolves baring teeth, snarls rippling through the square. Draven only smiled, slow and cruel. You will. He motioned, and Jacob was thrown to his knees. Silver hissed against flesh, the smell of burning skin making bile rise in my throat. Celine! Jacob shouted, his voice raw. Don't let him do this. You know what he is. Every head turned toward me. Dozens of eyes, yellow and silver, waiting. Draven's gaze locked with mine, a silent challenge. Speak, little mate.
Shall your human live? Or shall I peel him apart before your eyes? My heart split down the middle. Jacob's desperation. Draven's demand. The prophecy's shadow curling around us all. I opened my mouth, but before I could speak, Jacob beat me to it. Kill me, and she'll never forgive you, he spat. But if you let me live, I'll make sure she never loves you. The square erupted in shocked cries. Even the guards hesitated, unsure if they'd just heard a death wish or a curse. Draven's smile vanished. His silver eyes burned with a rage so cold it chilled the air. Then perhaps, he said softly, I'll kill you slowly enough for her to beg me to stop. And I realized, trembling, that Jacob hadn't come back just to save me. He had come back to ruin Draven. And maybe ruin me too. Chapter 14. The Moon Trial. The council chamber stank of smoke and old stone. Torches lined the walls, their flames swaying as if the air itself trembled. Wolves crowded the tiers above, their growls a constant undercurrent, eyes gleaming with hunger for blood. At the center stood Jacob, still bound in silver. His knees dug into the cold floor, sweat dripping down his temple where the metal seared his skin. He looked exhausted, broken, but not defeated. His gaze flicked to me as I entered, and my heart clenched. Draven sat on the Alpha's throne, high-backed and carved with the crescent of the goddess. His wounds had healed, his strength returned, and his presence filled the hall like thunder. The council elders rose, their robes whispering as they turned to the assembly. This human has defied the Alpha, intoned Malric, his voice slick with false reverence. He has raised rogues against us, spilled blood upon our land, and dared to covet what is consecrated to the throne. A low snarl rippled through the wolves. My skin prickled. The law demands judgment, another elder added. The moon trial. My breath caught. I had heard of the moon trial only in whispers, an ancient rite called when justice and prophecy tangled too tightly for ordinary punishment. A trial not of law, but of fate. What does that mean? I whispered. Lyra, standing near the council steps, met my gaze. Her eyes were hard, her lips pale. It means the goddess will decide which male lives, and which one you belong to. The words hollowed me out. Draven rose slowly from the throne. His cloak spilled across the dais, his silver eyes cutting through the hall. The human dies, he declared flatly. No, Jacob roared, straining against the chains. If you want me dead, then face me yourself, beast. Not with guards. Not with chains. Let the moon decide. The wolves howled, stamping their feet. Challenge. Spectacle. Blood for the goddess. Draven's lips curled into something between a snarl and a smile. So be it. The trial was set for the next full moon. Until then, Jacob was caged but alive. His body blistered with silver. His spirit unbroken. The pack feasted in anticipation of the coming fight, their chants echoing through the night. Moon trial. Moon trial. Nay. I was the unwilling prize. On the night of the full moon, the arena burned with firelight. A stone circle older than the fortress itself, ringed by carvings of wolves and crescent moons. The goddess's temple loomed behind, its spire piercing the sky. The pack gathered in thousands, their howls rising like thunder. Jacob stood bare-chested, scars fresh and raw, a crude blade in his hand. He looked impossibly small before them, a man defying monsters. But his eyes never wavered from me. Draven stepped into the circle, shifting his cloak from his shoulders, his body gleaming with power. No weapon. He didn't need one. His wolf was the weapon. Selene, Malric intoned, his voice carrying over the crowd. By bloodline, by covenant, by prophecy, you are the heart of this trial. Do you claim the Alpha, or do you claim the human? The moon will honor your choice, with one life and one death. The air cracked with silence. Every eye bore into me. My throat closed, my heart pounding against my ribs. Jacob's voice cut through, hoarse but strong. Choose me, Selene. We can still be free.
Draven's silver gaze pinned me. Choose him, and I'll rip his heart from his chest before your eyes. Choose me, and I'll keep him breathing, long enough for you to regret it. The crowd roared for blood. The moon rose higher, white fire spilling across the stone. And I realized the trial wasn't just between them. 'Twas me. My choice, my curse, my chain. And when I opened my mouth, the words that spilled out would damn one life forever. Chapter 15 Fate's Cruel Twist. The moon was a silver eye above us, watching. Judging. The arena burned with anticipation, the pack's howls reverberating through the stone. Jacob stood bloody but defiant, fists clenched around his crude blade. Draven loomed like a storm, muscles coiled, wolf just beneath the surface. And me, I was the fulcrum. One word from my lips would tip the balance. Choose. Malric bellowed, raising his staff. By the goddess, speak your claim. I swallowed hard, throat raw. Jacob's eyes pleaded with me, human and desperate. Draven's gaze pinned me with silver fire, ruthless and unyielding. Every instinct screamed to end the trial, to stop the blood, to shatter the prophecy. But the goddess's power pressed against my skin, demanding my voice. I. My breath faltered. The crowd leaned in as one. I choose. The words caught in my mouth as the moon flared blinding white. Gasps rippled through the arena. Wolves fell to their knees, some howling, others whimpering. A voice older than stone rang in my skull. You were never theirs to claim. Not human. Not alpha. You are mine. The moon split the sky with light, a shaft striking me where I stood. My skin burned with cold fire, my veins igniting. I cried out, clutching my chest, and when I looked down, a mark blazed across my skin. A crescent, glowing like molten silver. The mark of the Luna. Draven staggered back, eyes wide for the first time I had ever seen. No, the prophecy. Jacob dropped his blade, horror flickering in his face. Celine, what did she do to you? The goddess's voice thundered again, shaking the stones. The alpha was never your mate. The human was never your freedom. You were consecrated not as prize, but as vessel. Through you, the line of kings will rise, or burn. The crowd erupted into chaos, wolves fighting to bow and howl at once. The prophecy had been twisted all along. I wasn't destined to belong to Draven or Jacob. I was destined to bear the power that could unmake them both. Draven's snarl tore through the night. If she is vessel, then I will be the one to wield her. His body convulsed, bones snapping as his wolf erupted. Silver fur, massive jaws, eyes burning like twin moons. Jacob screamed my name, rushing toward me with nothing but human strength. Celine! Run! The pack's roars drowned the night. But I didn't run. The fire in my veins surged, spreading to my hands. I raised them, and silver light exploded outward, a shockwave that sent wolves crashing to the ground. Draven's wolf skidded back, claws gouging the stone. Jacob froze, blinded by the glow. The goddess whispered one last time, "Choose not lover. Choose not master. Choose destiny." And I understood. My choice had never been between Draven and Jacob. It was between surrender or becoming the very thing they feared. I lifted my hands higher, the mark blazing brighter. I am not your prize, I cried, voice breaking through the howls. I am the moon's fury. Light consumed the arena. Draven roared, Jacob shouted, the pack shrieked. When the glow finally dimmed, silence fell. The alpha lay broken. His wolf form collapsed, breath shallow but alive. Jacob knelt at my feet, shielding his eyes from the fading light. And me, I stood alone in the center, the mark of the Luna still burning across my chest, knowing nothing would ever chain me again. The prophecy had not chosen my mate, had chosen me. Epilogue. The moon's daughter. The world was quieter after the trial. Too quiet. The pack still whispered my name like both curse and prayer. Some called me Luna Reborn, others called me Blasphemy in flesh. Draven lay broken, his wolf spirit scarred, and though his body healed,
his pride never would. I could still feel his gaze on me, even when he wasn't there. A tether that had not snapped, only stretched to breaking. Jacob, he had left. Humans weren't meant to walk this world once they'd tasted what lay beyond it. He had tried for me, but I saw the hollowness in his eyes. Loving me had burned him out. He walked away under the pale light, leaving me only a final kiss on my forehead, like a benediction. Hurt. Gods, it hurt. But it was right. Now, every night, the mark on my chest glows when the moon is full. The goddess whispers in dreams, not sweetly, but with sharp reminders. You are not queen. You are not bride. You are weapon. You are womb. Through you the bloodline will be forged. I wake with sweat on my skin and terror in my lungs, because I don't know what she meant. Child. A dynasty. Or something darker. The prophecy didn't end in the arena. It began. Sometimes I walk to the cliffs where the sea meets the forest. I stare at the waves and wonder what freedom tastes like, because I've never truly known it. Not as daughter. Not as promised mate. Not even as Luna's chosen. But the pack kneels now when I pass. They don't bow to Draven. They don't whisper Jacob. They bow to me. And I wonder, is that power or is that another chain? The moon rises. The mark burns. And the future waits, sharp and merciless. I am Selene. Daughter of the promise. Vessel of the goddess. The one who was supposed to belong, but who now belongs to no one. And maybe that is the cruelest twist of all.